Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Adriana Stein of AS Marketing, and today we're discussing scaling the agency while still maintaining project quality and good client relationships. Originally from the US and now living in Germany, Adriana leads a team of digital marketing experts who develop holistic online marketing strategies for B2B and B2C companies across Europe and North America. Thanks so much for joining us today, Adriana.
Thanks so much for hosting me, Julia. Pleasure to be here.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, whereabouts in Germany are you tuning in from?
I'm based in Hamburg now, which is the almost northernmost city in Germany. There's one more above it, but still quite north.
Okay, that's awesome. And how are you enjoying living there?
So far, so good. I mean, I'm originally from Oregon, so the climate's pretty much the same. Lots of rain, gray weather, which a lot of people complain about, but I'm kind of used to, so it works for me.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And then, so what really gets you out of bed in the morning and motivates and inspires you?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think there's kind of two pieces to this. One is that I feel like I'm a really lucky person and that my thing just kind of found me. And yeah. I realized it was really my thing and I've never really considered doing anything outside of it because I think I am quite good at it. That's, I guess, why I have a marketing agency now.
Yeah.
And so just feeling the passion for the type of work that I do, that so much so that it doesn't even always feel like work sometimes. Like the days just kind of, they go by so fast because it's very exciting. Yeah. And I think the other piece of it too is my family background is quite complicated and I went through some traumatic situations as a child and I had to grow up rather quickly as a result of that. And mm-hmm. I think they're kind of, when you go through a situation, a traumatic situation, you kind of either choose to be stronger or you choose to continue to struggle. And I really wanted to choose to be stronger. Mm-hmm. And so that really motivates me personally as well, just to really do something worthwhile and fulfilling in my life and yeah, make the most of it while I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you took a negative situation and turned it into a positive because that's definitely not an easy thing to do.
Absolutely. Yep.
So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing to start?
Yeah, so it's a very funny story. I originally moved to Hamburg because I wanted to do my graduate degree here. I studied my bachelor in, well, actually I have two, anthropology and English at Portland State University in Oregon. And I wanted to do my master's in anthropology in Germany because it's free here. So great free public education.
Amazing.
I ran into some problems though when the program that I wanted to apply for, which there were very few that would accept my anthropology degree. There's basically only one in Hamburg. So I ran into a problem there where they required a really high level of German and a specific university test that you had to take. So it wasn't even like the state one that most people take to show like for visa purposes, you had to take a specific one for the university. That was so insanely difficult. I studied for it for a total of 9 months. I went to language school, German language school, and German is not an easy language, by the way. Everyone says it. Everyone is like, it's like this love-hate relationship. So I studied, 25 hours a day at the school and also went home and did my homework. And unfortunately, I still didn't pass the test.
Oh, man.
And so I couldn't get into this university program. But what ended up happening was the foreigner's office basically told me, well, why don't you try doing some freelancing instead, because now you do speak German decently well, you know, try and do some translating or something like that, and then you can probably find a way to stay here. Mm-hmm. So they gave me a bit of an extension on my visa, and that's basically what happened. I got a tip from a German friend of mine who said, well, why don't you post an ad on this German website? It's called eBay Kleinanzeigen, which means small ads. Mm-hmm. And you can post for things on there like, I do content translations, or I can translate voice recordings or something like this. And then so basically that's what I did. And little did I know how much there was a demand actually for my language skills. And I ended up with a few different clients already within 2 weeks.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's that so was cool.
It was kind of crazy. And then I just kind of got thrown into the world of content marketing, because content marketing needs a lot of translations, especially for German companies who want to have a presence outside of Germany.
Yeah.
Then, so I got, yeah, basically got my kind of like a paid internship that way with the first two companies that I worked with over the first year.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up in marketing.
Well, that's so interesting. And then, okay, so you started off as a freelancer. And so now you're running AS marketing. So how did AS marketing come about?
Yeah. So, I mean, the core topic that we're discussing today is scaling. And that's basically how AS marketing was born. Because I found over time that there was really a huge demand for this English and German kind of language skills and pairing that with marketing. And it ended up being really focused on content marketing, and then SEO plays a big part in that as well, because that helps the organic traffic on the website. And so if you're the person that can put together the strategy behind those two languages, in German and in English, you're quite a rare person, not just in Germany, but actually all of Europe. And so I just kind of built my I built my network of people that I was working with, agencies and direct clients, and they were happy with everything that I was doing. And kind of with every project, I got more responsibility, and I was like, okay, well, I think I should make this an agency, because it's getting so big, and this is really something that can really go somewhere if we start to have a good promotion strategy. And I was also working a lot of hours as well, and I was like, I think I'm working harder and not smarter. And so I think I need to work smarter. And
yeah,
that's basically kind of where the agency concept came into play. And there was this one key piece. So I started hiring a couple people on my team. The first person was a content writer. And the second person, she started actually as a content editor. But what we found is that she was very good at operations. Her name's Liz. So Liz is an amazing member of my team. Shout out to her. She sees this promoted later on.
Awesome.
And so we were kind of, she had all of these amazing ideas, and we were kind of looking at how do we really build out an agency? How do you construct an agency from the ground up? What needs to happen? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, so maybe we can just do some research on, you know, how is an agency built? Who is involved? What needs to go into place there to make that work? And so she did some research, and she gave me this presentation where she had this slide that was all of the different key roles in an agency. And in my picture was in like 9 of them. And then I realized, okay, it was like a light bulb kind of turned on for me. Like, all right, I need to stop like being an entire business and really just try to focus on a few core things that bring the business forward and start bringing on a team to really fulfill, you know, larger, more holistic projects, other languages, other types of marketing. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes into that with operations and HR and legal as well. And so basically that kind of set the tone for the next few years that we worked together and started building up AS marketing.
Okay, that's so interesting. And then, so would you say it's the fact that you guys are bilingual is how you kind of differentiate yourselves, or is there any other ways that you set yourselves apart from other agencies?
I think that's the main thing, and that's why the majority of people come to us. The second part of scaling was really developing my personal brand on LinkedIn. And once I started posting about all of this stuff related to SEO and multi-language SEO strategies, there became a lot of inbound leads from that, which is really fantastic. So very good use of time.
That's so interesting.
And a lot of people were asking about this, you know, can you help me with German and English? And then lately we've hired native speaker strategists from basically every European language, I think nearly now, all of them, even some newer ones that are little known. So we're cool. we're kind of the agency that people come to when they're like, hey, do you need a Polish SEO strategy? Yep, sure.
Wow. So how many different languages do you guys support?
So the core ones, German, of course, French, Italian, Spanish, Dutch, Polish, I said, Czech, Greek.
That's so cool.
I think it's Slovakian is another one.
I think okay.
Our project manager speaks. There's probably more in there. It's an ongoing list.
Wow, that's so interesting. So cool. Okay, so yeah, let's delve into our topic. So yeah, we're going to be talking about scaling your agency while maintaining that project quality and then good client relationships as well. So what were some essential processes that you had to put in place to ensure that the project quality didn't slip through the cracks?
Yeah, so that is one of the key things that I think a lot of, let's say, mainly service-based businesses struggle with, especially when you have an entrepreneur or a founder who is really used to working closely with clients. You kind of feel like, well, if we're going to maintain the same quality, I have to basically copy myself. And how can I copy myself? That's not possible. I mean, I built the business because my skills are so rare. So
yeah.
how can I even start to think about that?
Mm-hmm.
So I would advise, instead of thinking how can you copy yourself, think of how you can split what you do in your job into multiple different people. So if we go back to this agency slide and Adriana taking on 9 different people's jobs,
mm-hmm.
then split that into 9 different people's jobs. And
yeah.
then through that combined effort, it's really a matter of 1 + 1 is more than 2, because you get all of those additional skills from the team, and the holistic and cumulative effect is so much better than even what the founder or I could have done at the beginning. And so that was really a big piece of it, was just understanding what roles do we need to split up in the agency, what types of people would fit into those roles, what skills do they need to bring to the table,
mm-hmm.
what kind of personalities should we look for, what kind of team culture do we need to continue things, what sort of processes in terms of our deliverables do we need to put into place. One thing that really helped there was creating productized services.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a major thing that we changed this year. I was mainly doing a whole lot of custom stuff over the last few years. And even though we still kind of do some custom projects, we tend to at least adapt it from some sort of productized service. And doing the same repeat process over and over again, it there's a lot of benefits from that. You know the budget, so that's easy to forecast. You know
yep.
the time it takes. You also get more productive and efficient at it as a team, and it gets better because you start to see, okay, here's the things, you know, that we didn't quite do last time, but let's improve on them the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole lot of benefits there, really. And if you can just kind of pop out the same thing over and over again, then you know the quality is there. You know it's also what clients need.
Yeah.
But that's really a big part of it, maintaining quality.
That's really interesting. And then have you niched down who you serve as well, in addition to the services that you offer?
I think we're starting to do that more and more. That's probably the next stage, is to really hone in on B2B. That's where most of our best projects come from. We do, of course, have B2C, as you described in the beginning, but I would say now it's probably like a 30% amount that we do B2C. It's mainly B2B now, which is a totally different ballgame in terms of marketing, which I think it's more fun because it's additionally challenging.
Yeah, very cool. So what are some effective ways to ensure your team is on the same page as the client with regards to the deliverables when you're scaling?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So one thing is, again, having these productized services. So the same thing goes into the same deliverable. So it's easy to understand, you know, the checklist to get that deliverable done. And another thing is that we as a team are organization freaks. we're really obsessed with this. And I learned a lot actually from the mistakes of other agencies. And before, when I was working as a freelancer and was a part of other agency teams, I felt like half the time it was really unclear what I was supposed to be doing. And sometimes I would be in a client facing role and I would be told two different things, one from the client and one from the agency. And it was just a total disconnect. And then the project was not going well. It's just because we're not all communicating in a way that we should have and setting up the project in an organized manner. So what we do from the beginning is when we send out proposals, we map out exactly, here's the deliverable that you're going to get within this package. It includes XYZ thing. We're going to get it done by this date. And then that information goes directly to the project manager if they're not involved in the discovery call. If they're involved in the discovery call, then they actually set that up themselves. So they know really well what needs to go into the project because they have owned it already. They've developed the strategy for it in the proposal.
Yeah, so important.
Yeah.
And then, so what is the key to maintaining a good client relationship as you scale your agency?
I think the biggest thing there is actually soft skills. So in our interviews for project managers, we are actually looking a lot less at technical skills than people probably think. We tend to have two different rounds of interviews, and one is first with our HR manager, and he kind of goes through the technical stuff. Does this person generally know what they're talking about in terms of their marketing skills?
Yeah.
And then it would go to another senior person, maybe me or Zoe, our head of client accounts, or another senior specialist that knows the type of marketing they're being interviewed for. And they actually check them for the soft skills, like, do they seem like a nice person? Do they seem organized? Are they friendly? Do they tend to communicate well?
That's awesome.
Do they speak clearly? Are they confident? Do they seem knowledgeable? And if you have a person with that type of personality, then they're typically a really good fit for a project manager. And the project manager is in that client-facing role, which builds that relationship and then keeps the relationship with the client. So it's really a personality match. And what's really funny there is we actually learned that me and two of our project managers have nearly the same personality type. I don't know if you've heard of this, like Myers-Briggs 16.
Yes, so interesting.
Personality things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we found out that three of us have the exact same. We're all INFJ, and we're like, wow, okay, that explains a lot.
And then do you guys work really well together?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because my business partner and I, we're like polar opposites of the scale with the test. But we also work together really well because we have complementary traits. So yeah, I think I actually did an episode not that long ago that talks about the Myers-Briggs personality test. And it's so interesting.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, a huge differentiator when you're scaling is just, sorry, my throat's getting stuck, just being able to uphold the deadlines that you set and follow up with what you say you're going to do. If you say you're going to send something to a client on Thursday, then send it to a client on Thursday. That's like a huge difference between someone who is a successful consultant and someone who isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Okay. And then, so can you talk about the importance of, you know, just managing those clients' expectations? And then, you know, when it comes to reporting, just, you know, being crystal clear, having that transparent reporting with them, and then how that affects your client relationships?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that actually goes down to working with the right people at the beginning. So if you see on a discovery call that a client expects to know the ROI or to have number one keyword rankings in a month, then just don't work with them, because it's just simply not going to work.
They're not going to be a good fit.
It's not going to be a good fit. They're going to pay the money, and then they're going to be upset that it didn't meet their expectations. And then the project is going to fall through. And then, you know, maybe they even give you like bad word of mouth or something like that to their colleagues. And that's absolutely what you don't want. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important to set the expectations for what results they can really expect under which time frame, and make sure that their mindset is on the same page with what is deliverable and realistic and actually also makes sense for their business. That happens sometimes too. Sometimes people come to us and ask for things that don't even match it at all what they should be doing with their business from our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Especially companies who are outside of Germany and they want a go-to-market strategy for Germany, and they think of Germany the same as the US or the UK, and we kind of have to tell them, no, totally different market here. You've got to rearrange your thinking, and it's different. It's a different culture, different language. So you can't really think of everything as the same.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so what are some lessons you've learned from owning a marketing agency?
So many. I think I'm still learning every day. I mean, maybe honestly, that's one of them, is like really being open to always learn and always improve.
That's a good one.
The marketing world is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. Really, even Google's changing like weekly.
So I know.
We're constantly getting email updates about this changed and that changed. And so you always have to be really flexible with how you use technology and even things like data privacy. That's something that's changing all the time in different countries as well. How much is automated? So yeah, it's really, you can't be stuck in really one way of thinking. You've got to be really flexible as technology changes, as people change, consumer demands change.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of always have an open mindset to learn and improve. I think that's a big one.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
I think another one too is really, especially since we've started scaling and bringing on a lot of new team members, now sort of my role has also been keeping the peace among the team and making sure that they have the information and the tools they need to finish their work. Because if they are able to do their work properly, then they can't do something that the client needs.
Mm-hmm.
So really the emphasis has kind of gone, as I've taken my hands off of project management, it's kind of gone from keeping the clients happy to actually keeping the team happy. Because the longer someone stays on, the more productive they get, the more experience mm-hmm. they have, the longer they can work with a specific client, which continues that relationship. So mm-hmm. now it's kind of like a 50-50 split, and the team is really just as important as the clients now.
Interesting. So you're making sure there's no bottlenecks and that everyone has everything they need to proceed with their work, and they're not getting held up in any way.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if any issues between team members arise, or I don't know, maybe the client has some strange expectations or some strange feedback, or
yeah.
You know, just kind of being like the air traffic controller a little bit between the two groups.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So are there any mistakes that you've observed that other agencies are making when it comes to scaling their agency?
They're not using a project manager. That's a big piece of it.
That's huge.
It's a massive piece of it, using something like Asana.
Yeah.
Even though as a freelancer, I worked with lots of different agencies, I never once actually used another project manager. It was always just something via email. And then we just emailed each other. And I can't even imagine trying to run an agency like that. We live and die by Asana. Like we have to know, okay, here are my 3 to 5 priority things that I have to do today. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't take me 2 hours to figure out what I'm supposed to start working on. I should be able to wake up and just start working on that and know it very clearly. Mm-hmm. And that helps us maintain deadlines really well, make sure that the process that goes into finishing a deliverable is adhered to. And it just brings a lot of clarity. A lot of people they're kind of overwhelmed in the beginning with how we use Asana, but then I think nearly everyone always says later on, like, I love how organized you are. This is great. I'm so glad you taught me how to use Asana like this. I will always benefit. So
that's so cool. Awesome. And then, so where do you see AS marketing in 5 years time?
That's really tough because I'm still kind of in this looking only a few months ahead.
Yep.
Like if we can just get through the next few months, like that's great. I'm happy with that. I think in 5 years though, one thing that we're actually, I've kind of taken on as my pet project going forward is really building brand awareness and kind of making our, or creating like a brand vision and a brand mission. Because when you start as a consultant, your business is kind of built based on what the clients want from you. Mm-hmm. So you're sort of just going by that demand and it pops up from that demand. You don't often see like, oh, there's this gap in the market and I need to fix something like that. It just kind of comes and you follow it. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of want to transition us to be a little bit more proactive versus reactive. Mm-hmm. So proactive in that we kind of stand for something in particular as a brand and maybe pull us a little bit away from some of the traditional marketing services. I think we will definitely still do them for the time being, but maybe developing something particular for B2B businesses in general. Mm-hmm. Maybe combining marketing and sales consulting or even product consulting, because I've done a lot of that now. Our projects that have been going on for like a year or so, I've been involved in everything: SEO, content, social media, brand positioning, pricing, market expansions.
Wow.
So I think there's so much into that is really beneficial for clients to have. And so I think we kind of need to develop something stronger there that really matches the brand vision. So
Very cool.
still open to see how that comes up, but it's a work in progress.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited for you guys. That's cool.
Thanks.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I have a direct answer for that, actually. Mm-hmm. There's 2 of them. And because we're talking about scaling, I want to mention actually 2, because they both really heavily impacted me massively. And they're probably some of the best books in terms of business, that if you want to go into marketing and consulting in general, read these 2 books. Mm-hmm. The first one is The Freelance Content Marketing Writer.
Okay.
By Jennifer Goforth Gregory. And she created this Facebook group. It's called this, The Freelance Content Marketing Writer. And I joined this group because I thought there were probably going to be job ads in there. So I wanted to get clients. But actually what it turned out to be was a huge group of freelance writers who were giving each other advice about how to set pricing, how to deal with weird requests from clients and things like this. And then I found out about her book from this group. And the number one thing I learned from that was to look at what I did as a business. And that was basically where I sort of got the concept, like, okay, I'm not just a writer. Like I'm a business person. I'm a businesswoman. And so from here, I need to build an agency because this is a business. So that was the number one. The second one, I read a book by Christopher Lockheed, Play Bigger. And it goes over the topic of category design. For anyone who's unfamiliar with that, basically it's kind of how you reposition your unique selling points and your your mission and your company so that you don't really have competitors anymore. And it just revamps everything so that, for example, and this is kind of what we're doing, what I'm trying to kind of develop now, like not really just doing SEO, but kind of what is the next step after that? What is the next level of consulting that we want to work on? And that book really was super beneficial, not only for my business, but also for our clients too, because there's now been a project where I'm also helping them with category design as well. So
that's so awesome. Yeah. Win-win. Those sound like great recommendations. Great. And then, so what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not the 5 a.m. wake up person and meditate and journal. And I don't think that will ever be me. But I do really try to wake up at the same time every day. I do have breakfast every day too. So make sure to get in a good meal before I start working. Mm-hmm. Drink my coffee, give myself time to wake up peacefully. I also try to go to sleep at the same time every night. So I think that's really one of the most important things is just try to have some consistency, especially if you work from home all the time, like I do.
Yeah.
If you give yourself that, then for me, it works. I don't really have a problem with getting up and getting started.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think getting up and at the same time every day, and then also making sure you have a good breakfast, I think I'm such a huge advocate for having a good breakfast. Like your brain doesn't work properly if you don't eat breakfast. So
for me, for sure.
Yeah, same. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yes. Chris Walker at Refine Labs. So he also, I don't know if you can call it a marketing agency. He calls it Demand Gen. It's a new version of a marketing agency, let's say.
Okay.
They focus on B2B tech, and he is just an incredible thought leader. I think that he's an absolute genius, how quickly he's grown his agency and the stuff that they're doing. He has also his own podcast that I listen to for ideas all the time. Really, really useful for B2B marketers to check that out.
That's cool.
And I think I love how he's not afraid to be himself. He has an opinion and he just goes with that opinion, and there's so much courage behind what he does. So
yeah.
For me, that's, he's kind of my inspiration for AS marketing, really, if I'm honest.
Wow. That's so cool. And then do you have a favorite online tool?
Well, being from the SEO world, then SEMrush would be my favorite.
Good one. Definitely.
Yep.
Okay. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think it would be honestly what I learned from Jennifer Goforth Gregory's book, that what I'm doing is a business, and think of it like a business and be a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. And you know, be confident in that, and don't think of myself as, you know, just a little add-on to the company that doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think no matter whether you're an agency, whether you're freelance or consultant, whatever the case may be, you matter to the company, your opinion matters to the company. And if you get the feeling that it doesn't, then don't work with them, find better clients because they do exist.
Yeah. Oh, that's such great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Adriana. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thank you so much. It was great as well.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.